But people's emotions are running high right now, and that's why we have to be praying. If you feel it well up in you, you just start praying. Start interceding and praying for those people involved. Praying for, and you may not even know what's going on yet. I mean, that happened quick. It escalated very quickly. But remember, these things shouldn't bother us. But Pastor, it's my country. Prophets have said the United States. My Bible says the entire world will serve under the Antichrist. So, and Israel will be part of that. So don't get your knickers in a bind. Okay? We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He told us centuries ago. These things are going to happen. And Jesus forewarned us. He said, these things are going to happen, but don't let them trouble you. Listen, come hell or high water, I still serve the greatest King of all. Amen. All right. Real quick, today is Building Fund Offering. Thank you for giving in as the Lord leads. Also, thank you for helping us start on time. We do ask when you hear the music, start playing and quickly wrap up your conversations and get to your seats and get ready to worship the Lord. It's important to get our minds in the right place, because if we were all still holding on to Wednesday, our minds weren't in the right place. Okay? Even this morning, you know, not every Sunday morning do I get the opportunity to just be by myself, but, you know, when they have practice, I do get that opportunity, and I just spent the time reading the Word and praying in the Spirit. And so, you know, and as I'm sitting here, you know, one thing as Angela said it this morning, you know, I thought Wednesday, I said, that's exactly what needs to happen. The church needs to start hitting its knees again, physically. Obviously, there are some restrictions on certain people. You may have to be lifted out of here and carried out on your knees. But, you know, that God was putting that on my spirit this week, and I never say anything to her about that. So again, thank you for helping us do that. Also, tithe and offering envelopes are in the back. If you've been here, you see how we do it. We do it during our worship. Our tithe and offering is part of our worship. And so we love to incorporate that. And that's actually more scriptural than passing a plate. A lot of places want to do that because they want to just make sure you stay in your spot so that they can keep you controlled. When people start moving, you can't control them. But also, I have been cleared to pass on this information. Maybe. You want to tell them?
I'm shipping out for the Navy June 30th this year. So.
He'll be the first one in our lineage in the Navy in its 245 years. We've had 4 Marines, 3 or 4 soldiers, but never a sailor. And seeing how much his mama loves nautical stuff, it was bound and determined to happen. But, you know, and if you're wondering, we've all been praying. When he told me, he said, I've been thinking about this and praying about it for several months now. And, you know, I didn't tell him that I've been actually praying for him for the last several months. And one of the things I told his mother is he needs to go to the military. And that's exactly what he told me. I need to go. There's things I need to learn. You know, and if you've been, you know, you've been there, you know, you don't come out the same person. Usually you come out a little bit better. So, you know, I know to be the man that God's called him to be, it's what God did for me. So I'm looking forward to seeing what God does with him. So yes, we will be praying for a new guitarist and another male voice. And, you know, you may have to, no pressure, we're not. Oh, praise God. But I wanted to share that. I was like, I asked him this morning, I said, did you tell the praise team? He said, no, but you can tell people if you want. I said, well, we'll just get it out of here right now because I'm about to explode. I am proud. Thought I could do that smoother, though. Had it all planned out back there. Went over it and went over it and went over it. And yeah, not happening. Let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? The plant don't want to let go. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are grateful for this day, Father. We thank you that you have led this nation through this week. Father, we pray for those that are in power and those that will be in power. Lord, we pray that you lead them, you guide them. Father, in spite of what the things may say, what people may think, you are still in charge. Now, Lord, as part of our worship, we have brought you our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I pray that you bless this. You bless it according to your word. You said in Malachi that if we would do this, you would pour out blessings that we would not have room to receive. Father, that our storehouses would overflow, that our crops would not fall dead in the field. Father, I thank you and praise you for that promise. And now, Lord, I present it to you as holy, as sanctified. We give you the 10 to redeem the 90. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed at this time. Praise the Lord. You know, if you obviously sitting in here, you know what took place Wednesday. And you know that things will never be the same. Nothing's going to be the same anymore in this country. For good or evil. I won't determine which way. It might push something for better change in our electoral college. It may push for better representation in Washington. I don't know. That's what we need to be praying about. But I will tell you this. I've watched and read. I've read in the Word many times where things changed in Israel. Kings would rise up. One king would serve the Lord. The next king would not serve the Lord. There is a price to pay when you don't serve God. There is a huge price to pay. And in the year of Jehoiakim, I think I said that right, he didn't serve the Lord. He went after false gods. He did things what he wanted to do. And God had already told him, told and spoke and spoke and spoke to Israel, if you do not turn your hearts away from the evil that you are doing, you will pay a price. And during Jehoiakim's reign, Nebuchadnezzar rose up from Babylon and led Israel into captivity, looted the temple, and took prisoners back to Babylon. And in that group of prisoners, there were four young men. And for the longest time, I never knew they had actual Hebrew names. Daniel was the only one I knew that had a Hebrew name. The other ones, when I was little, I was never taught their Hebrew names. I was taught Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I was praying this week, and I was like, God, what do you, I mean, I've got some things stirring in me right now, some things I know, there's people that need to hear some things that I've got to say. Sometimes they're going to be a little harsh, but you know what? Sometimes it's the harsh stuff that gets us to wake up, okay? Maybe what took place Wednesday will be a wake-up call for everybody. Okay, I do not believe for 1 minute that those people that look like Marvel comic book characters were real supporters. They look like actors to me. But there were real people following them. People are upset. People are tired. And Israel got like this, but Israel did not rise up. God brought Nebuchadnezzar in. And Nebuchadnezzar brought his way of doing things. And he took those four young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, also known as Belshazzar. And he took them back to Babylon. By the way, this is out of Daniel 1 through 6. He took them back to Babylon. They were to be groomed in the way of the king. They were advisors because they were smart. They were intelligent. Listen, folks, sometimes you may not think you're smart. Sometimes common sense is more smart than an A+. Okay? I didn't carry A's. And I made an unfortunate mistake in the Marine Corps. I showed them I had some intelligence. I ran the shop efficiently, cleaned out everything we had, and when my staff sergeant came back for his job, somebody had taken notice to that, and they took me away from the job I actually enjoyed and stuck me in an office. And I fought and I fought. Finally, I had to give up. Sometimes you can kick against a prick so long, right? I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell Peter, or not Peter, but Paul. And so I gave up. Honestly, that ended up being the best thing for me because God elevated me in that position. God took these four men from someplace they were comfortable, their home, and he took them to a place they were uncomfortable. You had to know they weren't real thrilled with being drug off into captivity. They weren't real thrilled, and Daniel was the one primarily who was leading, so I'm assuming he was a little bit older, who told the steward, please, let us remain on our diet. They drank water only. They would not drink wine. They only drank water, and they only ate vegetables. They were vegetarians. By the way, why do we feel the need to crucify people that are vegetarians? Why? And why do vegetarians feel the need to crucify people who eat meat? The church, for starters, needs to stop falling for it. Adam and Eve ate a lot of veggies. As a matter of fact, they were told, here's the world. Every fruit, every herb, every nut is for you, except that one tree standing over there. That one's mine. Okay? The entire world. Man, they had bananas, they had papayas, they had mangoes, they had strawberries, kiwi. Exactly. And it wasn't until Noah's time that man was given permission to eat meat. Okay? So all the way up until then, it was actually not right to be killing animals to eat. And anyhow, so they ate their vegetables. They stayed on their diet. And as a matter of fact, the word records, they grew healthier. They were fatter in their appearance than the guys who were eating the meat and drinking the wine and all the sweets. Now, we know today that if you go that way, it don't take long. You get a supersize me lifestyle, right? You eat way too much of one thing, and it just keeps bloating you. Their bread was not the same bread that we eat today. But they ate only that, and they grew healthier. And it was brought to the king's attention. And then we know that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and instead of telling his wise men what the dream was, he told them, if you're really who you say you are, you tell me my dream. Can anybody tell me my dream from last night? I can't even tell you my dream from last night. I was sleeping so hard. And Daniel got word of it, and he went to the king. He said, King, let me pray. Give me some time to pray, because they were going to start killing the satraps and the wise men because they couldn't tell him. And they kept saying, King, well, just tell us your vision. And he's like, no, I've already told you. You're telling me. I know what it is. I want to know if you really know, if you are who you say you are. And when Daniel asked for permission, he was given permission, and God told him the dream. And God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And at that point, you know, Angela was talking this morning about we can kneel before the Lord. You can kneel where you're at. You want to come up here? They call this an altar for a reason. Don't worry about what people, you should be praising the Lord, not worried about who's walking, who's dancing, who's putting their offering in. Your focus should be on God. And the Bible says that the king prostrated himself before Daniel. He laid on his face before the man of God and said, truly, your God is the one living God. See, there's a problem that the church has today. We don't know our God lives. We sing God is alive, but do we really believe he's alive? Well, he's alive in me. No, he's alive. He is the very breath that we breathe. He is the very life force that moves this planet. He is all of that. And then when you get out of that, he's everything. And yet the church doesn't believe he's alive, but yet this heathen, this man who is arrogant, this man who worshiped idols, recognized that only a living God could have told Daniel that dream. At that point, the king gave him gifts, gave him a big house, he was the ruler over all those wise men at that point. He got elevated from having somebody over top of him but boom, he was the boss. This is a captive. Somebody who people should be looking down upon, people should be thinking badly of. You're a slave. You're one of our slaves we took from Israel. And God elevated that man. And when he did that, Daniel had influence. See, that's what we're focused on, gaining political position. God took him by doing his job and put him there. I wish preachers would quit seeking political positions. When God has given you a position to influence somebody, you stay where you are. God gave you that position. He doesn't need you jumping over to the political realm. Now, if God moves you to go to the political realm, I do believe Mike Huckabee was one God moved. Then you leave your podium and do the job that is set before you. But I have watched preachers try to leave this. See, what they want to do is they want to hold on to this, and then they want to try to go over here, and you can't do that. You're split. You're serving two masters. God took him and promoted him and put him right there. The king, he was an advisor to the king. Now, next thing you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, there's been a decree issued that if you will not bow to the idol, that the golden statue I have created, then you will be killed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You have to know that with Nebuchadnezzar promoting Daniel and Daniel having the king's ear, that he knew about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He knew about them. And when they were brought before him, the king asked, he said, please, just do this. Just bow. And they said, King, we will not. We will not bow to your idol. How many times does the church bow to the idols of man? We will take away your tax exemption. I serve the God who sets up kings and sets them down. I serve the God who can turn the king's heart just like a river. It doesn't take much to move a river. You guys ever notice that? It really doesn't. The Mississippi, I forget how wide its path has moved over the years. They can find ships a mile off of its current course in a field. It doesn't take much to cause that river to shift. It doesn't take much for God to go, boop. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, didn't he? 10 times. 10 times. But this time, after Nebuchadnezzar, after they continued to say, we will not bow, we will not bow, the king's countenance was changed. I told you, talking to you last week a little bit about this. I believe that this is a moment, either a demon entered into him or the demon woke up. I'll destroy you. I will heat the furnace 7 times hotter, and I will take men of valor. I think this actually should be crazy men in my army. They'll do anything. I mean, there's men of valor who do things level-headed, and then there's just guys, they just go. They don't think twice. They just do it. And there were 3 men who took each one of them to the thing. And the Bible says that they couldn't even get close to throw them in. That the heat killed them. But yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked right on in. And they stood there. And Nebuchadnezzar on his throne looked down. He said, How many guys did we throw in there? They said, 3, my Lord. He said, well, I see 4. And that one looks like the Son of God. Again, how did Nebuchadnezzar know? Except the demon that did it said, uh-oh, I really messed up. God's going to get glory. And he said, that one looks like the Son of Man. And then he went over and he ordered them to come out. The Bible says they came out. There was not one hair singed. They didn't smell of smoke. Their ropes were burned. Their clothes were not even burned. Nothing was harmed on them. And he had to recognize again, you serve the one true living God. As we go forth, Nebuchadnezzar dies. His son Belshazzar. See the confusion I had last week? I was like, oh, wait a minute. I got to make sure I get the right king. Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, he got this great plan in his head. He was going to have a big party, and he was going to bring all of the loot that he had gotten from Israel's temple. And he was going to have a festival celebrating what they had. And in the middle of this celebration, ladies and gentlemen, if you can imagine, up on that wall, a hand appeared and wrote, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Nobody could interpret it. And somebody said, you know what, my Lord, there was a man who served your father, who's a servant of the Most High God. Does anybody really want to serve the bottom God? I mean, what is the deal? You know there's a high God and there's a low God. You serve the high God. You serve the one who can destroy the others. Who will destroy the others. And they sent for Daniel. And Daniel said, I can interpret it. Paraphrased, but you're not going to like it. He said, Mene means you have been found. Tekel, you have been weighed. Upharsin, you have been judged. You've been found and the balance is wanting and you've been found short. And that was the end of Belshazzar. Because that night, the Persians and the Medes took over Babylon. And Darius became the king that Daniel would serve. Now to Daniel. Darius knew about Daniel. Come on, stop and think about it. You hear somebody who told a king what he dreamed. Aren't you going to hear about it? Everybody knew about him, except the son of the king. How oblivious did he have to be? Maybe he was one of these we always see the movies made about. You know, the prince running around doing whatever he wanted and drinking and sleeping around and doing everything but what he's supposed to be doing. And then he inherits the kingdom. And he's a joke. See, the Bible tells us pride will lead us to that fall. And that's what it was. He was gloating in front of God. You need to understand, he took things out of the temple, things that God had established as sacred and holy. Lampstand. We don't know about the ark, the bowl, the table for the showbread. These things were covered in gold. All of the things that were in the treasury of the temple, he was saying, look what my father did. He humbled them. And God said, enough is enough. I'm judging you right now. And you've been found wanting. So Daniel develops a relationship with Darius. Darius knows that Daniel is special. He knows that Daniel has a connection with something that he only wishes he had. A connection with God, the one living God. And so Daniel is revered by the king. However, understand this, that when you have the respect of somebody above you, there's going to be jealousy like you've never seen before. You think people are jealous when you get a new pair of shoes? Wait until the king says, hey, he's my friend. So they go before Darius, and the easiest thing to do for a king is to pump him up. Oh, king, live forever. If you read the accounts, you will see that's how they went before Nebuchadnezzar. That's how they did it. They went and they pumped him up. They puffed up his ego. And they said, my king, we think that for 30 days, nobody should bow before their gods, but before you. They should only give you the adoration. They should only honor you, not before their gods. They knew how. Understand, your enemies know you. They know your prayer habits. They know how strong you are. These other men were jealous and they were scared of Daniel because Daniel held power over them. And so they went and they said, king, make a decree that in all of Persia, that in your kingdom, nobody bows except to you. And he made the decree. For 30 days. Here's where I can relate to it to us in today's society. You can't sing in church. You can't clap your hands in church. You can't gather. In our country, that is unlawful. I just heard he was actually a pastor. Was he a youth pastor or is he a head pastor over there? That long-haired guy on TV the other day. Worship pastor, okay, out of California. They've been told they can't sing. They've been told they can't sing. Kentucky, they said, you can't clap your hands. It's not like I'm high-fiving Caleb over there. I'm clapping my hands. You know, my hands are constantly in touch with each other. And that's what it would be like. Oh, by the way, you can't pray. You get out in public, don't you dare bless your food. Don't you dare pray. Well, Daniel's got stones. He's got the stones. And he said, no. And he went to his upper room of his house. You got to understand, this is how we know it was a nice house. It had an upper room. Okay? Not all these houses had an upper room. Sometimes they had a stairway that went to the roof. And that was that. Because they would sleep outside a lot at night. And so he went to his upper room. He had at least the second floor. And he opened the window to Jerusalem. And he would bow himself. And the Bible says he gave thanks to God. See, I've taught you before, and if I have to teach again, I will. Thankfulness is the soil that God can work in. If you're not thankful for the things you have. Listen, God gives you abilities. If you can't thank God for the ability, Lord, I thank you that you gave me this ability. Now, that's a fine line to hoe, or stand on, whatever. I've done messed it up. It's a fine road to hoe. Yeah. A fine line to walk, whatever. But anyhow, you have got to be able to thank God for these things. Lord, I thank you that you've given me the ability to teach. That's a special ability. Okay, it really is. I've told people, you know, I could have been a cop or an MP in the Marine Corps. I decided not to do that. You know, I know a lot of guys that get out of the military and they go to teaching. I'd be the guy that throw the eraser at the first smart aleck. So, which would be, it would probably come back and hit me because, you know, why not? If it's hitting smart alecks, might as well start there. And so Daniel goes and he bows before God and he begins to pray and he thanks God. He's in captivity. He doesn't have the freedoms that they thought they had. Honestly, I think his captivity, he may have had more freedoms than he did in Israel. And his enemies were waiting. So you know they were next door being peeping Toms. They were looking through his window watching this man worship God. And they went to the king and they said, oh king, did you not sign a decree, making it sound like it was his idea, that nobody should worship anything for 30 days but you? And he said, well, yeah, I do remember signing that. He said, well, there is one. And your decree says that they must be put to death. And he says, okay, who is it? It is Daniel, your friend. Can you imagine Darius's heart? It had to have sunk. His heart just fell. And he said he regretted making that law. Because once it was law, he could not override it. See, that's what you need to understand something. You cannot just override law. It's the law. The people that broke into the Capitol building Wednesday, they broke the law. Trespassing. They will be held accountable. They've got their pictures. But he couldn't just say, I'm just going to override the law because, you know, Matt's my friend. Well, then if I do it for Matt, I got to do it for Faye. And so forth. But he couldn't. So that night, they took Daniel. Now, I've seen different pictures. I've seen a cave. I've seen where it looked like a well. And based on what I've read, it was more than likely some sort of cavern that was accessed from above. And it said they threw him in. But God sent an angel. And that angel shut the mouths of the lions. How he did it, we don't know. Because that business end isn't the only dangerous part of a lion. They got pretty big paws with very sharp claws. I've seen pictures of Daniel standing off to the side, sitting on a rock, and all the lions laying down before him. That's more than likely how the scene looked for the entire night. And can you imagine being Darius knowing that his friend, he ordered him to be thrown into that pit? And it says he got up the very next morning. He was probably up at the crack of dawn. And he went in there, and hoping beyond hope, he cried out, "Daniel, my friend, are you alive?" He said, "Yes, my king. The lions have not harmed me." He ordered the stone removed, and Daniel lifted up out of the pit. And then he did something that shocked the enemies of Daniel. He ordered them to be thrown into the pit. Their children, their wives. And when they were thrown in, the Bible says that their bones were broken and they were dead before they hit the ground. The lions attacked them. Now, they did that, one, to set a message, but two, to keep your enemies. Hey, this kid's going to grow up. I mean, in our mind, that's barbaric, right? It's why they did it. I don't justify it. It's what they did. And the point we have today to look at is no matter what people tell us, you can't pray here. If anybody in a business comes and tells you can't pray there, why are you spending your money there? Okay? That's all I'm just going to say. You come up and tell me I can't bless my food, I'm not harming you. I didn't ask you to shut down your business so I could thank God for my food. Now, I've known people that were that obnoxious that would try that, or people that stand up and they make sure that everybody in the restaurant can hear you. Shut your pie hole there, arrogant one. And sit down and bless your food. But we're in a day and age, folks, where honestly, we think if somebody says, "Ha ha ha, you got a cross on your necklace," or "Ha ha ha, you've got a fish on the back of your car," "Ha ha ha, you go to this church," "Ha ha ha, you're a Christian," "Ha ha 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 ha," right? That's what we think is persecution. I can't imagine being thrown into a lion's den. Even the lion at the Columbus Zoo is pretty intimidating, and he's fed well. There's a reason those lions tore into the next group. They were hungry. Yeah, they said, "This guy's old. Give us that young." But we're talking about that's real persecution. And we think, "Oh, my family, they don't agree with me. God, you're my persecution. I can't bear it." Quit being a wimp. Persecution is when they're going to crucify you. Persecution is when they're going to throw you into fire. I built a fire one time behind my barn. Joshua brought in we won't ever do it again, a pile of pallets from work one day. They didn't know where to get rid of them. So he's like, "Oh yeah, Dad's got a burn pile." He brought them things in. And I think Tony had just started dating him. And we lit that thing up. I had neighbors from 3/4 of a mile down the road said, "Hey, is your barn on fire? We can see flames over the top of it." I have a big barn. And it was in a hole. I said, "No, don't call the fire department. It's a bonfire. It's burning down quickly." That fire got so hot, we were sitting right at the edge of the field, 35, 40 feet away. And it was not warm. But I'm sitting there in short sleeves. I'm like, "Lord, this fire is hot. I can't imagine being marched up to it. It's so hot that it kills the guys going to throw me into it. And then I walk on into it." That's nuts. But they knew who their God was. Persecution comes. I don't care what my family says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what my governor says. I don't care what my president says. I don't care what Congress or the Senate. I don't care. I care about what God says. Because when I do close my eyes for that final time, it's Him who I stand before. Okay? Not a Supreme Court. And he said, "Why didn't you stand strong?" I wanted to show you my deliverance. Do you understand the testimony Daniel had after that? He already had a pretty good one going on. Between the four of them guys, we don't know everything that took place. But we do know this one. And it's like, seriously? This impressed King Darius so much, he was made third from the top. There was only one person between him and the king. Third in charge. Does that sound like anybody else we might know? Who was made second in charge? Who was a prisoner? Joseph. We worry about the wrong things. Well, your faith is just a little bit radical. I would rather be a little bit radical than dead inside. I'm not saying not dressing up, look like a fake Viking to storm the Capitol building or the Green Lantern or whatever that other guy was supposed to be. Or have you seen the meme that says we spend $750 billion on national defense and in 2 hours the Duck Dynasty crew and the Chewbacca bikini wearing guy overtake? Yes, I get it. They were not ready for what took place. If they'd have known, they might have had more force. But listen, you need to understand something. If those protesters were really there to do that, to overthrow the Capitol building themselves, the guys, I think there was a group in there who led something stupid. The other guys just got caught up in your emotions. We all do it sometimes. But trust me, the crowd that they were there, they've got the same equipment. They would have been there in bulletproof vests and helmets and stuff, more than bicycle helmets. Okay? I'm just saying, I believe it was incited. Listen, those people don't represent me. I'm telling you right now, no, it should not have happened. Never should it have happened. But never should our country have turned its back on justice. And this, we're not just talking about the election, possible fraud. We're not talking about it. We're talking about all the things that have gone on that people have turned a blind eye to. We are the people of God. Do you understand that in the time of Daniel, Daniel's the only one God was speaking to? Out of all of the people on this planet, Daniel was the only one. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit would rest upon one person. It couldn't rest upon us all, let alone now indwell in us and lead us and guide us. See, we still don't fully understand who our God is. He's speaking to each one of us. Caleb and Morgan's situation might be a little bit different than the Youngs or the Broadwaters or the Nobles or the Scotts. They need to hear God for them. Just like Jesse had to hear God for himself. I couldn't tell him he needed to do it. It would have been a kick in the gut. But I know what it'll do for him. And he said the exact things when he told me. See, it spared me from having to be a jerk. Well, you just want me out of your house. No, I want you to be the best that you can be. But don't join the army. No. I'm just teasing. I did have to, he has heard several Marine renditions of In the Navy. And yes, I am proud. Am I disappointed he didn't join the Marines? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When he told me he was thinking Navy, I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One, I want him to enjoy his time. Army and the Marines, the best two bases are Air Force and Navy. And they're tied. They got great golf courses, great chow halls, great everything. Army and Marine Corps bases, we got swamps, mosquitoes, desert, and a little building they call an exchange that's no bigger than a 7-day store most times. Oh, by the way, that's a In-N-Out Mart or Duchess. Old habits came back. But folks, that's why we have to be able to listen to God for us. Your situation is a little different. You've got to hear from God. You don't need to take everything. Well, God, you've got to confirm it. How about just taking a step out, and if it's there, it's there. And if not, jump back to God's arms. Oh, by the way, he can catch you when you fall. His arm's not too short. He told Peter, he said, come on out on the water, dude. It's fine. Can you imagine Jesus? That's what I love about this Chosen series. It doesn't paint Jesus in the image that we've been taught. We've taught that he walked around, peace unto you, my child. He was a real human being. He liked to joke. He liked to have some fun. And I can imagine maybe him walking out on the water like, hang loose, dude, come on, let's go. Waves are perfect. And Peter's out there, are you serious? I've been a fisherman my entire life. They are not perfect for anything. As a matter of fact, they're about to sink our little boat. Well, okay, Jesus, I come. Sometimes that's all God's wanting you to do is take his chance and walk on the water. Daniel walked on the water. Do you understand? I would love to be able to sit there with a lion and it not eat me. Unless God makes that situation happen, you ain't going to see me running down a lion anytime soon. Come here, kitty, 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 let me pet you. Yeah, I don't think so. Don't be afraid. That's all I can say. Don't be afraid. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm scared. That's okay. Everybody gets scared. And if they ain't scared, they're a liar. They're a liar. Everybody has a little bit of fear. No fear. No fear here. Listen. Fear's going to come at you. It's whether you bow to it or not. It comes in the way of, you may have cancer. But what did God say?
That I was not cancer.
No cancer. We prayed for her last week, folks. They said, there's a good chance you got cancer again. None. The devil brought a fear. As soon as we hear the C word, oh, Jesus. I'd like to introduce cancer to Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
My report said no cancer cells whatsoever. No, I mean, not that I was no cancer, but there were no carcinoma
cells. No cells, period. Amen. That's what we're believing. I'm telling you, folks, don't give in to fear. Oh, but if I start bowing before the Lord, what are my friends going to think? What are my, who cares? You better be telling them about Jesus, folks. Because, you know, what is it? Pirates of the Caribbean I can't think of it. No, the other captain. First one, Barbossa. When Captain Barbossa asked Jack Sparrow, said, do you believe in ghost stories? And he stepped over into the moonlight. He said, you better believe one. Believe it now because you're in one. Do you believe in horror stories? You'd better start believing. Because without God, you're in one. With God, I can go through the valley of death. I can walk right through it. But without God, it's a horror story. And that's when you can find out who has God and who doesn't. They heard the news and, oh, my world's coming apart. My world, my world. They're like the wicked witch. What a world. Yeah, it needs to go. You need to hold on to God. You claim you believe God. How about doing it? How about clinging tighter to him than you've ever clinged before? I mean, God has carried us through, he's carried you guys through combat. He's carried us through stupid situations that we've gotten ourselves into time and time again and carried us through. Well, Pastor, aren't you concerned? You know, we still got this kind of global war on terror thing going on. Hey, listen, I know what that kid has put himself through. And I know what the devil's brought against him. Do you think I'm scared? Absolutely not. I trust God. And that's where that lies. But if we're going to be truthful, we have got to stand for what we believe. We either believe that the Word of God is true or it isn't. And when God tells us to get off of our butts and do something, we get off of our butts and do it. If He tells you to drop to your knees in your seat, listen, if there's nobody sitting in your chair, move that thing a little bit forward. These things move. Do you see this? Look at this. Wow. It's awesome. We can have a big dance party in here if we need to. Trust God. He's not going to lead you astray. He's going to take you places where you've never been. Yeah, I had an adventure my 4 years on active duty, and He's going to have an adventure. Anybody that's gotten to be in the military or been on active duty, particularly as you get the adventure, you've been places, you've seen things. Not always pleasant, but you've still got to see things that nobody else has ever seen. I love looking at things of places I've been. Frequently, I'll look in on Subic Bay. Up until probably 2 years ago, they finally tore down the Quonset hut I lived in. And I forget what company put something in there. It's right on the water. I'd look in there and like, yep, I was there. I was on that beach over there. I climbed that cliff. I did this here. Okinawa. All I can see is where my barracks used to be and where my shop used to be. They're gone. But I can tell you about them. But that wasn't even the greatest adventure of all. The greatest adventure of all is I can tell you how my God has provided. How God said, if you will trust me and you will step out. If you'll go to that building that I rejected this property. I told a realtor, no. I said, that place is a wreck. And it was. You can ask anybody who was attending back then. I didn't tell anybody for quite a while where the building was, giving them a chance to get the garbage out of here. But God had given me a vision and I could see it. And not everybody has vision like that. So they're like, oh, how are you going to do this? By God. By God and $3,000. If you don't understand, that is ridiculous. We blew through $18,000 and never took up a special offering. Never sent out requests for people to, if they wanted to give, we had people just sending money. Boom, we had people saying, I've set up an account for you at the store, you go get whatever you need. That's what God did. God will do the same thing for you in this time. Trust Him. Okay? All right, let's stand. This banner to my right, you know, that one too, but this one right here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You won't need the things that you need. You won't have to worry about them. They'll be there. God will provide for you. Let Him do it. Trust Him. And if you're trying to make it in your own way, stop. You've just got to trust God. Like I said, in the next couple weeks, I know there's some things God is showing me going on in the hearts of some people in here. Okay? God has instructed me to start talking about them. You may say, well, Pastor, that's me. I've actually got a couple people in mind. It may be you, it may not be you. But I'll tell you what happens. When I talk about something, it's always somebody else who comes up and says, that was for me. It wasn't the person that God had told me to minister to. And I don't want to pull you out. A lot of people like to do that. You need to, Faye, come here, I need to read your mail, honey. Oh. Yeah, please don't. Here's the report God has on you. No, God tells me to start ministering to people. So if you're thinking, well, He's aiming right at me. Well, I might be. You know, I know, you know, my father-in-law raised cattle for many, many years. And if he had a sick one, he took care of the sick one. Isolated it. Said, here, I need to help you. We have got to be like that as the church. So yes, it might be something that comes your way. Or it might be just something God just dropped the brick on your toe that morning. This is you too, son. I can't tell you how many times God has done that to me. I've learned to curl my toes. There was a time in life I learned to curl my toes spiritually. Like, Lord, is this message going to hurt? Is it going to get my shins? But I'm here today because of it. Because a preacher didn't back off. And I want you, should the Lord tarry in 20, 30 years, to be able to say, I'm here because that preacher was too dumb to back off. All right, let's bless the Lord and I'll bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for your word. Father, we thank you for the example we have in Daniel, that he stood for what was right, that he did what was right before you of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Lord God, that they would not bow to the pressures of those around them, Father. They would not bow to the pressures of the people telling them that they needed to submit to their authority, but they chose rather you. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you're stirring in each and every one of us, Father, a spirit of excellence. Father, that is what I keep reading over and over about Daniel and the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that there was a spirit of excellence in them. Father, I call that forth in each and every one of us, Father, that we will do the things that you've set before us with excellence. Father, we will lead with excellence. Father, we will follow with excellence. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in each one of our lives. Father, that you're touching us. You're healing the wounds, Father, that the enemy has thrown our side, whether we are part of it or whether we simply were side blind or blindsided. So now, Father, I bless these people today. I thank you for them, Lord God. I know that some of them are in some situations. I thank you. You're going to lead them through them. Father, you're opening the doors. You're closing the doors that need to be closed, Father, that the enemy has trapped them with. Father, I thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.